LifeSpring Family Audio Bible number 56. This is the podcast where we're reading through the Bible in a year. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today, we're going to read Matthew 20 through 22. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, that info is on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 56. This is a listener-supported show. Please go to lifespringmedia.com/support to find out how you can help. Thanks. All right, you ready? Let's begin. Matthew chapter 20. For the holy nation of heaven is like the owner of a grape field. He went out early in the morning to hire workmen to work in his grape field. He promised to give them a day's pay, and then sent them to his grape field. Later in the morning, he went to the center of town where people gather. He saw men standing there doing nothing. He said to them, "You go to my grape field and work also. Whatever is right, I will pay you." And they went. Again, he went out about noon and at 3 o'clock and did the same thing. About 5 o'clock, he went out and still found others doing nothing. He asked them, "Why do you stand here all day and do nothing?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said, "Go to my grape field and work. Whatever is right, I will pay you." When evening came, the owner of the grape field said to the boss of the workmen, "Call the workmen, give them their pay. Start with the last ones hired and go to the first ones hired." The workmen who had been hired at 5 o'clock came up. Each one of them got a day's pay for his work. When the workmen who had been hired the first thing in the morning came, they thought they would get more, but each one got a day's pay. After they received it, they talked against the owner. They said, "The last workmen hired have only worked 1 hour. You have given to them the same as to us. We have worked hard through the heat of the day." But he said to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me when I promised to pay you a day's pay? Take your pay and go. I want to give the last ones hired the same as I have given you. Do I not have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Does your eye make you want more because I am good? So those who are last will be first, and the first will be last." As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he talked also to the 12 followers by the side of the road. He said, "Listen, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the religious leaders and to the teachers of the law. They will say that he must be put to death. They will hand him over to the people who do not know God. They will make fun of him and will beat him. They will nail him to a cross. 3 days later, he will be raised to life." The mother of Zebedee's children, James and John, came to Jesus with her sons. She got down on her knees before Jesus to ask something of him. He said to her, "What do you want?" She said, "Say that my 2 sons may sit, one at your right side and one at your left side, when you are king." Jesus said to her, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to take the suffering that I am about to take? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said, "Yes, we're able." He said to them, "You will suffer as I will suffer, but the places at my right side and my left side are not mine to give. Whoever my Father says will have those places." The other 10 followers heard this. They were angry with the 2 brothers. Jesus called them to him and said, "You know how the kings of the nations show their power to the people. Important leaders use their power over the people. It must not be that way with you. But whoever wants to be great among you, let him care for you. Whoever wants to be the first among you, let him be your servant. For the Son of Man came not to be cared for. He came to care for others. He came to give his life so that many could be bought by his blood and made free from the punishment of sin." As they went away from the city of Jericho, many people followed him. 2 blind men were sitting by the side of the road. They called out when they heard that Jesus was going by. They said, "Lord, take pity on us, Son of David." Many people spoke sharp words to them. They told the blind men not to call out, but they called all the more, "Lord, take pity on us, Son of David." Jesus stopped and called them. He asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind men said to Jesus, "Lord, we want our eyes opened." Jesus had loving pity on them and put his hands on their eyes. At once they could see, and they followed Jesus. Matthew 21. They were near Jerusalem and had come to the town of Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two followers on ahead. He said to them, "Go to the town over there. You will find a donkey tied and her young with her. Let them loose and bring them to me. If anyone says something to you, say, 'The Lord needs them.' He will send them at once." It happened as the early preacher said it would happen, saying, "Say to the people in Jerusalem, 'See, your king is coming to you. He is gentle. He is riding on a young donkey.'" The followers went and did as Jesus told them. They brought the donkey and her young one. They put their clothes on the donkey, and Jesus sat on them. Many people put their coats down on the road. Other people cut branches from the trees and put them along the way. The people who went in front of those who had followed Jesus called out, "Greatest one, the Son of David! Great and honored is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Greatest one in the highest heaven!" When Jesus came into Jerusalem, all the people of the city were troubled. They said, "Who is this?" Many people said, "This is Jesus, the one who speaks for God from the town of Nazareth in the country of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the house of God and made all those leave who were buying and selling there. He turned over the tables of the men who changed money. He turned over the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house is to be called a house of prayer.' You have made it a place of robbers." The blind and those who could not walk came to Jesus in the house of God, and he healed them. The religious leaders of the Jews and the teachers of the law saw the great things he did. They heard the children calling in the house of God and saying, "Greatest one, Son of David." The leaders were very angry. They said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you not read the writings? Even little children and babies will honor him." Jesus left them and went out of the city to the town of Bethany. He stayed there that night. In the morning, as he was coming back to the city, he was hungry. He saw a fig tree by the side of the road and went to it. There was nothing on it but leaves. He said to the tree, "No fruit will ever grow on you again." At once the fig tree dried up. The followers saw it and were surprised and wondered. They said, "How did the fig tree dry up so fast?" Jesus said to them, "For sure I tell you this, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only be able to do what was done to the fig tree, you will also be able to say to this mountain, 'Move from here and be thrown into the sea,' and it will be done. All things you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Jesus came into the house of God. The religious leaders and the other leaders of the people came up to him as he was teaching. They said, "By what right and power are you doing these things? Who gave you the right and the power to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing also. If you tell me, then I will tell you by what right and power I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" They thought among themselves, "If we say, 'From heaven,' then he will say, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say, 'From men,' we are afraid of the people, because they all think John was one who spoke for God." They said to Jesus, "We do not know." He said to them, "Then I will not tell you by what right and power I do these things. What do you think about this? There was a man who had two sons. He came to the first son and said, 'My son, go to my grape field and work today.' He said, 'I will go.' But he did not go. The father came to the second son and asked the same thing. The son said, 'No, I will not go.' Later he was sorry and went. Which of the two sons did what his father wanted?" They said to Jesus, "The second son." Jesus said to them, "For sure, I tell you this, tax gatherers and women who sell the use of their bodies will get into the holy nation of heaven before you. For John came to you preaching about being right with God. You did not believe him. But tax gatherers and women who sell the use of their bodies did believe him. When you saw this, you were not sorry for your sins and did not turn from them and believe him." Listen to another picture story. A man who owned land planted grapes in a field and put a fence around it. He made a place for making wine. He built a tower to look over the grape field. He let farmers rent it, and then he went into another country. The time came for gathering the grapes. He sent his servants to the farmers to get the grapes. The farmers took his servants and hit one. They killed another and threw stones at another. Again, he sent other servants. He sent more than the first time. The farmers did the same to those servants. After this, he sent his son to them. He said to himself, "They will respect my son." When the farmers saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the one who will get everything when the owner dies. Let us kill him, and we will get it all." They took him and threw him out of the grape field and killed him. When the owner of the grape field comes, what will he do to those farmers? They said to him, "He will put those bad men to death. Then he will rent the grape field to other farmers who will give him the grapes when they are ready." Jesus said to them, "Have you not read in the holy writings, 'The stone that was put aside by the workmen has become the most important stone in the building? The Lord has done this. We think it is great.' I say to you, because of this, the holy nation of God will be taken from you. It will be given to a nation that will give fruit. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and on the one it falls, it will make him like dust." When the religious leaders and the proud religious lawkeepers heard this picture story, they knew he spoke of them. When they tried to put their hands on him, they were afraid of the many people. The people thought he was one who spoke for God. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus told them more stories. He said, "Here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. A king prepared a wedding dinner for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the dinner. The servants told him to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants. He said, 'Tell those who were invited that I have prepared my dinner. I have killed my oxen and my fattest cattle. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding dinner.' But the people paid no attention. One went away to his field. Another went away to his business. The rest grabbed his servants. They treated them badly and then killed them. The king became very angry. He sent his army to destroy them. They killed those murderers and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, 'The wedding dinner is ready, but those I invited were not fit to come. Go to the street corners. Invite to the dinner anyone you can find.' So the servants went out into the streets. They gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. Soon the wedding hall was filled with guests. The king came in to see the guests. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man couldn't think of anything to say. Then the king told his servants, 'Tie up his hands and feet. Throw him outside into the darkness. Out there people will sob and grind their teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.' The Pharisees went out. They made plans to trap Jesus with his own words. They sent their followers to him. They sent the Herodians with them. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know you're a man of honor. You teach the way of God truthfully. You don't let others tell you what to do or say. You don't care how important they are. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But Jesus knew their evil plans. He said, 'You pretenders, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin people use for paying the tax.' They brought him a silver coin. He asked them, 'Whose picture is this and whose words?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then he said to them, 'Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God.' When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. That same day the Sadducees came to Jesus with a question. They do not believe that people rise from the dead. 'Teacher,' they said, 'here is what Moses told us. If a man dies without having children, his brother must get married to the widow. He must have children to carry on his brother's name. There were 7 brothers among us. The first one got married and died. Since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brothers. It happened right on down to the 7th brother. Finally, the woman died. Now then, when the dead arise, whose wife will she be? All 7 of them were married to her.' Jesus replied, 'You are mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures, and you do not know the power of God. When the dead rise, they won't get married. and their parents won't give them to be married. They will be like the angels in heaven. What about the dead rising? Haven't you read what God said to you? He said, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were amazed by what he taught. The Pharisees heard that the Sadducees weren't able to answer Jesus, so the Pharisees got together. One of them was an authority on the law, so he tested Jesus with a question. Teacher, he asked, which is the most important commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love him with all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everything that is written in the law and the prophets is based on these two commandments. The Pharisees were gathered together. Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, then why does David call him Lord? The Holy Spirit spoke through David himself. David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your control. So if David calls him Lord, how can he be David's son? No one could answer him with a single word. From that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Beloved, given what state the world is in, I think it's appropriate to spend a little time talking about the two most important commandments. There's so much hatred and division today, isn't there? Everywhere we turn, we hear stories of division. Right versus left, black versus white, Democrat versus Republican, mask wearers versus mask abstainers, and on it goes. And the news media stokes the fire nonstop. It's enough to make you throw up your hands in despair. And except for the fact that none of this surprises God, I would think that he must be so sad at what he sees his creation doing to itself. But of course, there is an answer, isn't there? We have the answer, and to our shame, most of us don't share that answer. Why do you suppose Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment is, gave the Pharisees a two-for-one answer? Do you remember what he said? Sure you do. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and love him with all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everything that is written in the law and the prophets is based on these two commandments. The Word of God was written so that we would know about God and so that we would know how to get along with each other. The root of the problems in the world today is not political, it's not racial, it's not social. The root of the problem is that God has been rejected in nearly every corner of the world. He's been thrown out of our schools. He's been thrown out of government. He's been thrown out of polite society. And sadly, he's even been thrown out of some of our churches. Am I saying that we should legislate God into these places? No, I don't believe that's the answer. The answer, I believe, is for each of us to first do the greatest commandment ourselves. We must love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And if we do that, it will change the world around us, the world that we live in, the world that is within our sphere. Why? Because it'll change the way we interact with our sphere. Next, we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we love God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul, that'll just come naturally. So, who is our neighbor? Anyone and everyone that God puts in our path is our neighbor. We must love them as Christ loves them. And when we start doing that, our world will change. And I'm talking about the part of the world, like I said, that we are in, that you are in. And as more and more of us change our world, the world at large can't help but be changed. Beloved, Jesus changed the world with just 12 men. Think what we can do. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Beloved, it's high time we get to work. Let me know your thoughts. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll be back in the epistles and we'll begin reading 1 Corinthians with chapters 1 and 2. And if you get value out of this podcast, please go to lifespringmedia.com/support. Pray and ask what God would have you to do, and then do it. Also, help me grow the show. Tell your friends about it. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.